This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. This is our sixth session of the second season under Al-Bina Al-Ilmi Building Knowledge Program. Every Monday, we have this session covering various topics related to the Aqeedah. And today and next week, inshallah, we'll be going through some of the common statements that people knowingly or unknowingly utter, but they are classed as the statements of shirk. And when we go through the list of these statements, we are now going to talk about the statements that are clear. The words and the statements that are clear in shirk, or the statements of shirk that are very clear. Rather, we'll be talking about the statements that people do not know that they are the statements of shirk. Or people, or Muslims, I should say, Muslims, they either do not know or they do know, but they do not understand the sin behind that particular statement. So we are going to go through various statements, and first of them is the statement of taking an oath. When it comes to taking an oath, before we go into the details of that, it is important for everyone to understand three types of oath. Although it is a bit of a fiqh issue, but it is important to understand. There are three types of oaths. The first one in Arabic is called al-yamin al-ghamus. The oath in Arabic is called yamin. Yamin means right hand, and yamin also means the oath. And the plural of the word yamin is ayman, not iman, ayman. And with this word is used in the Quran. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم, not في إيمانكم, في أيمانكم. Likewise, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم, ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان, not إيمان, with the fatha. That is why it is important to know the harakat when you pronounce any word of the Arabic language. So ayman, the word ayman is the plural of yameen. Yameen means oath. And the first type of oath is called al-yameen al-ghamus, with ghain, ghamus. Ghamus means dipping, dipping oath. Does anyone has any idea what does it mean? What type of oath is it? Dipping oath. Okay. Ghamus means to dip. Al-yameenul ghamus means dipping oath. It is an oath that a person says, utters a statement by taking an oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he is lying in his statement. The statement is not true. It is a lie. Lying in Islam is one of the major sins. And when with lying you take an oath, the sin becomes double. It's a double sin. And the ghamus, why is it called ghamus? And the fuqaha have mentioned two reasons for that. One is that in pre-Islam days, people, when they would take that type of oath, they would dip their hand in the blood. And this was seen as a kind of symbol or a sign to confirm that the person is not lying, but actually he's lying. In reality, the person is lying. And the dipping the hand in the blood, actually, they meant by it that if the person is lying in his statement, then his blood will become permissible. Basically, he deserves to be killed. This is what they thought. Okay? Al-yameenul ghamus. Meaning, even before Islam, people would take the oath seriously. Okay? And this type of oath is related to something that has happened in the past. Okay? For example, you say, by Allah, I did this, or I did not do this, I said this, or I didn't say this. So whatever, you take an oath with regards to something that has happened in the past. Okay? The second reason for this name is, as the fuqaha mentioned, because the person who takes this type of oath, if he's a liar in his oath, in his statement, then he will deserve the punishment of the fire of hell on the day of judgment, because he's lying. And he's lying, and on top of this, he's using the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make people believe in him. This is sviya sin. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are three types of people. لا ينظر الله إليهم يوم القيامة ولا يكلمهم ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. There are three types of people. Allah will not look at them on the day of judgment. Allah will not speak to them. Allah will not purify them from their sins. Rather, they will be suffering from painful and severe punishment for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of those three individuals is the person who sells his goods by taking a false oath. He's a liar. He's selling a product, his item, and he says, by Allah, this, for example, this laptop, it cost me 1,000 pounds. How can I sell you for 800? No, by Allah, it cost me 1,000. But he knows that he's lying. And unfortunately, this is something that is very, very common. We have seen that in Muslim land, in Muslim country, Muslims taking this kind of oath. Okay, when you bargain, when you negotiate on the price of an item, they say, no, by Allah, it cost me much more than that and you are giving me less than this. No, I can't accept. There's no need to take an oath. There's no need. And if the person does it, then he's sinful. Or the person sells his item and he knows that there are some faults in that item, but he takes an oath. For example, you are selling your car and you know there is fault in your car, in the engine or body, whatever. You know, but the buyer, He asks you, is everything okay? You say yes. And if the boy asks you, can you say, wallahi, everything is okay? You say, wallahi, yes, everything. You know that there is fault. You're selling your car, you know. Being the owner of the car. You're selling your house. You know there is a problem. There are some faults. But you don't disclose it. And on top of it, you take an oath and you say, by Allah. It's a severe sin. So this type of oath is called al-yameenul ghamus. The second type of sin is called al-yameenul laghv. Laghv means useless. Useless. What type of oath is this? What do you mean by useless oath? Okay. This is what Allah subhanahu, this is the type of oath that Allah has mentioned in the Quran. لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم. Allah will not hold you to account with regards to the useless of your or useless oaths. Useless oath means or vain or something that has no value. It means that a person takes an oath without the intention of taking an oath. Such as some people have the habit of saying, wallah, 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 billah, tallah, in every statement, wallah, wallah, wallah. A wallah in Arabic actually means by Allah, you take an oath. But not every single time the person says wallah, he intends to take an oath. So this is useless. This type of oath has no meaning. Which also means that if someone was having a normal, usual conversation with you, and they said within the conversation, they said, wallahi, you cannot hold that person to account. Okay? If you have a dispute with that person, and the case goes into the court, an Islamic court, and you cannot hold that person to account because of that oath. Because Allah says, Allah is not going to hold the person, Allah is not going to hold you accountable for the love of your iman. Meaning, there is no sin. Although it is not good, it is not good habit, you should avoid it by using the word wallah, billah, tallah in every other statement, any other word. Rather, you should leave it. But if you have that bad habit of saying it all the time, you are not sinful. Okay? And the third one is al-yameen al-mun'aqidah. Al-yameen al-mun'aqidah. Mun'aqidah means the oath that is going to take place. And that refers to the oath related to something that is going to happen in the future. Remember, the first one we said something that has happened in the past, that has gone. And in the future, the oath that is related to something that is going to happen in the future. You take an oath, you swear by Allah, you say, wallahi, by Allah, I will do this, I will not do this. Okay? It will happen. You take an oath. Okay? So the ruling of this type of oath is that if you have taken an oath on something that is Islamically permissible, you have to fulfill your oath. You have to fulfill it. Because it has become an obligatory upon you. For example, you say to someone, by Allah, or wallahi, I will see you tomorrow. I will see you tomorrow, I will meet you tomorrow, that time and that place. Now, it is binding. So you have to fulfill that oath. Okay? So that type of oath is kind of promise, but is a higher level. Is more binding than a normal promise. So you have taken an oath, so now you are obliged. You are obliged to fulfill it. And if you do not fulfill it, you will be sinful. You will be sinful. And in order to get rid of the sin, you need to pay an expiation, a kafara. If you want to avoid earning a sin of breaching your oath, you need to pay expiation, kafara. What is the kafara? Allah says in the Quran, فَإِطْعَامُهُ فَكَفَارَتُهُ إِطْعَامُ عَشَرَةِ مَسَاكِينَ مِنْ أَوْسَطِ مَا تُطْعِمُونَ أَهْلِيكُمْ أَوْ كِسْوَتُهُمْ. So the kafara is that you feed 10 poor individuals, 10 poor people, you feed them, you provide them a meal. Okay? Allah says, مِنْ أَوْسَطِ مَا تُطْعِمُونَ. It has to be average, not too lavish, nor too basic. The average food that you consume, the average level of meal that you have for yourself every day, that level of meal you need to provide to 10 individuals. Or if you can, within this first option, you have an option. Either you feed 10 individuals, or if Allah has blessed you with wealth and you can financially afford, you may provide them clothes. You provide clothes to 10 individuals, 10 poor people. So this is the first one. And within first, you have option either to feed or either provide the clothes. And then Allah says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ أَوْ تَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَ. Or you free a slave, which is something that is not doable nowadays. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامِ. Whoever cannot afford the first one, meaning feeding 10 poor people, or providing them the clothes, if you cannot financially afford, then the alternative is that you observe the fasting of 3 days. And these 3 days do not have to be consecutive days. Okay? All you need to do is observe the fasting for 3 days. Okay? You may fast one day this week, another one next week, another one the following week. It is permissible. Or if you want, you can fast for all 3 consecutive days. The main thing is that you fast for 3 days. And remember, this is the alternative of the first one. Meaning, if you can afford the first one, you have to do this. You cannot jump into the second one. Yes, you ignore and you say, I'm going to observe the fast. No, it is not going to be acceptable. So this is the expiation. And the person who has paid the expiation, then he avoids earning sin, because he has breached his oath. Okay? What if the person has taken an oath of doing something impermissible? Okay? Then, again, because you took an oath by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although you are not allowed to go ahead and fulfill your oath. In this case, you are not allowed to fulfill your oath, because you have taken an oath on something that is impermissible. You will be committing sin. You have to go against your oath. But because you are breaching your oath, you have to pay the kafara and expiation in both cases. I hope it is clear. So now we come back to our main topic, which is the statements of shirk. The statement of shirk is when the person takes an oath of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any of these 3 cases. And this is the reason I went through the detail of these 3 types of oaths. Something that has happened in the past. It is impermissible to say, by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I take an oath of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, by the Kaaba, by your children, by your family, by a saint, by so and so, by this place, by Makkah, by Medina, by Baytul Maqdis, by Masjid al-Aqsa, by Ramadan, by Muharram. No, it's impermissible. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man kana halifan falyahlif billah. Whoever wants to take an oath of the past, al-yaminul ghamus, or al-yaminul mun'aqida, the oath that is going to happen in the future, or even useless. It is bad habit to have, habit to keep saying wallah billah tallah all the time. But it is even worse when you have the habit of taking an oath of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in love. So this is the statement of shirk. But when we say the statement of shirk, we need to understand, we need to be in mind that it will be a statement of shirk when you take an oath of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if your intention is that other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is a prophet or someone righteous and pious, they have the authority to bring you any benefit, to cause you any harm. And this is the case with some people. Some people do genuinely believe in this. They say, by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They take an oath of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can bring them benefit or that he can cause harm to them. If this is the intention, that it is shirk. It is a statement of shirk. But if this is not the intention, rather they just elevate them, they out of their respect they say and they utter that type of oath, or they say they take that type of oath out of respect for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is major sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ala inna Allah yanhaakum an tahlifu bi abaikum. Beware, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited you from taking an oath of your forefathers. Because this is something that was common that time. A person would say, I take an oath by my forefather, by my granddad, by my so-and-so. Okay? And even now, even this ancient time in Muslims, they say it's very common. Amongst the Asian people particularly, I know that they say, no, I take an oath of my family. I take an oath of my children, my parents. This is something that is not permissible. Taking an oath of the month of Ramadan, because a special month. Taking an oath of Laylatul Qadr. Taking an oath of Baytullah. Taking an oath of Hajrul Aswad. All of these are other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is impermissible. What about taking an oath of the Quran? Permissible, impermissible? Permissible. Is the Quran? Quran is what? Kalamullah, the speech of Allah. Okay? Although we do not find an evidence that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever took an oath of the Quran saying wal Quran or by the Quran or any companion did, but if a person does, it's not sinful, it is okay, it is permissible. Okay? It is not different from what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in many ahadith. For example, as is mentioned in a famous hadith collected by Imam Muslim rahmahullah about the very last person who will enter into Jannah. He'll be burning in the fire of hell, and he will beg. Obviously he had tawheed, but he committed major sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished him in the fire. He will say, Ya Rabb, O my Lord, take me out of the fire. Allah will say to him, if I take you out of the fire, you may ask something else. And he would say, wa izzatika wa jalalik. I take an oath of your honor and your jalal. And I take an oath of your honor that I will not ask for anything more than this. I will not ask anything other than this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him out of the fire. And he will stay there. And it's a long hadith. But anyway, the point here is that, and this is what Allah mentioned in the Quran as well about Iblis. Okay? So this is a ruling that we learn from Iblis. Okay, Allah mentioned, not actually Iblis, from the statement that Allah mentioned in the Quran. Iblis, when Allah cursed him, he said, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I take an oath, I swear by your honor that I will try my best to mislead them. Okay, so a person takes an oath of the honor of Allah, person takes an oath of the mercy of Allah, person takes an oath of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, it is permissible to take an oath of the kalam of Allah, which is Quran. It is permissible to take an oath of the Quran. Okay. But when you take an oath, make sure you are true and you are truthful in your statement. If you have any doubt, never ever take an oath. Never take an oath if you have an... Sometimes people take an oath with regards to their intention. For example, there's a dispute between husband and wife. The wife says, then out of rage, my husband said divorce to me. And he says, no, I didn't say the word divorce. I said, you go on your own way and we cannot be together anymore. I had enough or this and... Okay? The fiqh ruling is the husband would be questioned what his intention was when he said, go away. I had enough. I cannot continue with this marriage. What would be the intention? The husband needs to be questioned. If he says, my intention was to divorce my wife, then it will be counted as divorce. But if he says, no, this wasn't my intention, then it will not be counted as divorce. So the husband says, By Allah, this was not my intention. You got to be careful. Because intention, this is something that has gone in the past. If you are uttering any lie while taking an oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are committing major sin. Major sin. For which you need to repent to Allah dhul jalal wa ikram. And in this case, particularly if the person say, by Allah, this wasn't my intention, then what happened? They would continue with their marriage. But just what if the person was lying and the judge, he made the decision, you are not divorced, you continue with your marriage. But in reality, it is not true. I mean, their relationship is haram and they are committing more and more sins. See, the seriousness of taking an oath. When you take an oath, you have to be sure 100%. If you have any kind of doubt, don't take an oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So this is the first statement. Statements, when you utter a statement by taking an oath of other than Allah, then it is a statement of shirk. Clear? Okay. Second one. The second one is to attribute something to other than Allah, to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. For example, whatever happens in this dunya, in the whole universe, whatever happens, it happens with the permission of Allah dhul jalal ikram, with the mashi'ah of Allah dhul jalal ikram, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Obviously, we have our own will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the human beings, our will. And whatever we do out of our free will. And to certain extent, Allah has given us the freedom within our will. But the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overtakes everything. So anything and everything that happens in this dunya, in this whole universe, it happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is impermissible, or it can be a statement of shirk, when you say it has happened by the will of Allah and by the will of so and so. Okay? So basically, making the mention of other than Allah along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the same statement. It is a statement of shirk. And the evidence for that is what is mentioned in the hadith that a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and out of respect, he said, "Ma sha Allahu wa shi'it." Whatever Allah wills and whatever you will, O my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it happens. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What?" He said to him, "Aj'altani lillahi niddan." Have you made me a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You have associated me as a partner with Allah when you said whatever Allah wills and whatever you will? No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, say ma sha Allahu wahda. You should say whatever Allah alone wills, it happens. It is mentioned in another hadith that a Jewish person said to a Muslim, you, those who believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you people say the statements of shirk. Look at the belief of the Jews that time. They say, you commit shirk. He said, how? He says, I've heard some of you saying whatever Allah wills and whatever your Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wills, it is shirk. And the person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, O Messenger of Allah, this is what a Jewish person said to me. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, he's right. He's right. When you say whatever Allah wills and whatever the Prophet ﷺ wills, it is a statement of shirk. Then he said, if you want to say, you may say whatever Allah wills and then whatever the Prophet ﷺ wills or whatever you will. See the difference. So the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overtakes the will of the human being, anyone else. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or other than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay? So, for example, you have a conversation with someone and you say, okay, I will do the way you want. Okay? And then you say, inshallah, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is permissible to say by the will of Allah and then as you wish. It is permissible to say this. Okay? I will do inshallah by the permission of Allah, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and as you wish. But you can't say I can do this by the will of Allah and by the will of yourself. I hope it is clear. So it is impermissible, or it becomes the statement of shirk when you make the mention of the will of Allah and the will of other than Allah within the same sentence and within the same format. It is impermissible and it is something that is classed as a statement of shirk. Third type of the words of the statements of shirk are some of the names. Some of the names. The names such as the name that has reverence or the name that has, you know, say a great meaning, the ta'zeem, okay? Or the name that shows, or the title that shows a lofty, position, for example. Such position that Allah subhanahu, that is for Allah dhul jalal ikram only. And no one has that position or that level of respect for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, in the dunya, in this world, we have rulers and we have kings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also king. As is mentioned in the Quran, Al-Malik. Al-Malik. The king. When we say someone in dunya as a king, do we mean that he has the same authority, same power as Allah dhul jalal ikram? No. If no one has the same authority and same power as Allah dhul jalal ikram, then how is it permissible to say to someone that he is a king of the kings? King of the kings. It is impermissible. It is a statement of shirk. When you say king of a king, king of kings, It means you have raised that person to the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because king of the kings is only Allah al-Jalal al-Ikram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that is reported by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَخْنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ The most hated of the names on the day of judgment before Allah subhanahu when Allah is going to pass the judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold people to account on that day, the most hated name by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be the name or the title Malikul Muluk. Malikul Muluk, the king of the kings. No matter, even Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him power. Allah gave him authority. He gave him power over human beings, over jinn, over birds, over animals, over wind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him power. He made dua to Allah. Rabbi habli mulkan la yambaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Oh Allah, grant me such a kingship or power that you would not give to anyone after me. And Allah accepted his dua. There's no king had, no king that has more power than Sulaiman alayhi salam. But yet he cannot be called Malikul Muluk, the king of the kings. The king of the kings is only Allah. So this is also considered as a statement of shirk if you use a word or a title for someone in order to raise their status and you bring them to the level of Allah al-Jalal al-Ikram, this is a statement of shirk. And sometimes, unfortunately, unknowingly, people say or utter statement similar to this, not related to the names, but similar. For example, the weather is nice, shiny, sunny. Okay, you say, mashallah, you see your friend or your relative, someone who is close to you, someone who is beloved to you, say, see, because of you, the weather has become so nice. Na'udhu billah. What that person has to do with the weather? With that person. Okay, a guest has come to you on a day when it was raining. Okay, you say, you came and you brought the rain with you. Unknowingly, we utter it. This is very common. You brought, is that person the cause of the rain? The rain comes by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we got to be careful. So these are the, because you raise the person to the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is a statement of shirk. This is something that is not permissible. Okay. The fourth one is al-asma. التي سمى الله بها نفسه. This is a detail. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are certain names that cannot be used for other than Allah, and it is impermissible. Clear. Those names are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. But there are other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can be used for human beings, okay, with certain conditions. So the first category is of the names that are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, such as what? What is the actual name of Allah? Allah. You can't use the word Allah for other than Allah. Okay? Likewise, Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman, that is the highest level of mercy. In Surah Al-Fatiha, in our Basmala, we say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman means that the one who has a level of rahmah or type of rahmah that is for everyone. For everyone. And the type of rahmah that is showered on everyone without an exception. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim is a rahmah that is for certain individuals. Okay? So Ar-Rahman, Allah is Ar-Rahman. Allah is Rahman. His mercy, He showered His mercy on those who believe in Him and those who do not believe in Him. He showered His mercy on those who believe in His existence, and even those who do not believe in His existence. Can anyone amongst the human being have that level of rahmah? No, impossible. So when no one can have that level of rahmah, no one should be called Rahman. No one should be called Rahman. Rahman is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Out of ignorance, lack of knowledge, lack of understanding of the deen of Allah, people name their business as Rahman. Rahman shop, Rahman market, Rahman business. Rahman, I saw once a driving instructor, he had a plate on top of his car, Rahman instructor. Rahman. And it's very common, unfortunately. That is why, if a child is named Abdul Rahman, his name should be spelled all as one word, Abdul Rahman. Not Abd and Rahman surname. What happens? When you receive a letter, it will be written, Dear Rahman. Okay? Or you may call Rahman. No one is Rahman. Calling someone Rahman is as you call someone Allah. Would a believer, would a Muslim accept for someone to be called Allah? Why do we accept someone to be called Rahman? Okay, it is impermissible. But it is very common, unfortunately. And it is due to lack of understanding or due to ignorance. Is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is only for Allah. Likewise, Rabb, the word Ar-Rabb, it is not permissible to use for anyone. The word Rabb, okay, except with making the mention of something else with it. Rabb means someone who has the possession or authority or power over something. Using the word Rabb, only word Rabb for other than Allah is not permissible. If someone has been named as Abdul Rabb, they should be called Abdul Rabb. We have a Mawlana here, his name is Abdul Rabb. I heard many people say Mawlana Rabb Sahib, Mawlana Rabb Sahib. Subhanallah, Rabb is Allah. You can't call someone Rabb. He's Abdul Rabb, he is the slave of Rabb. But it is permissible to use the word Rabb when you make the mention of something. For example, Rabbul Mal, the Rabb of the wealth, meaning the owner of the wealth. Rabbul Bayt, the owner of the house. Rabbul Mal, the word Rabbul Mal, the Prophet ﷺ himself used when he sent a companion to collect the zakah. He ﷺ instructed him to be fair and just when he collect the zakah. And he says, when you collect the zakah from the animals, be careful, do not choose the best animal. When you collect the zakah of the goats or the cows or camels, do not choose the best animal. And then he said, illa an yasha'a rabbuha wa illa an yasha'a rabbul mal, except that the owner of that property or that wealth himself wants to donate, wants to give something better, then it is his will. Okay? So Rabbul Mal, Rabbul Bayt, it is permissible. That using the word Rabb on its own, it is not permissible to be used for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, these names that are for Allah Dhul Jalali wal Ikram only. Likewise, Al-Quddus. Al-Quddus. Okay? And some other names. You know, you look into the meanings of these names. And you got to ask yourself, do those names, those meanings befit a human being or not? If they don't, then you shouldn't name them. You shouldn't call anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those names. As for the names that are not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, they are not dedicated to Allah, it is permissible to use those names for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as the word Rahim, Rahim, Ra'uf, Hakam, Hakim, Alim. These type of words, we find the evidences within the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used himself, he used these words for other than Allah, for other than himself. The word Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Harisun alaykum bil mu'minina ra'ufun rahim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's ra'uf, he's rahim. Okay? But according to Arabic language, there is difference between the word ar-ra'uf and ar-rahim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or other, anyone amongst the human being, they can be called rahim or ra'uf, but they can't be called ar-ra'uf, ar-rahim. Ar-ra'uf, ar-rahim is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-hakam is only Allah. Al-hakim is Allah. Al-alim is only Allah. But for other than Allah, you may use these words and these names. For other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you may call someone alim or hakim or hakam. Okay? This was the, it is mentioned in the story of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, when he went to have a dialogue with the Khawarij, and one of the lack of understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or misunderstanding or ignorance, the jahl, they said, one of the objections against Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the companions who were with Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was that you made human beings as hakam between you and Muawiyah. How can you call someone hakam, whereas hakam is Allah? And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he recited the ayah of the Quran. He was the mufassir of the Quran. He said, do you not read the Quran? Allah says in the Quran, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. If there is conflict and a dispute between husband and wife and they cannot come to any solution, then فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. They should send a mediator or a judge from the family of the husband and the family of the wife, and they both sit together and then they try to find a solution. So Allah used the word hakam for human beings. So it is permissible. So that is why it is permissible to use these type of names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for other than Allah. Believing that when we use these names for other than Allah, they do not hold the same meaning as for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the beautiful names of Allah is As-Sami' Al-Basir. As-Sami' means all hearing. As-Sami' all seeing. But when we use As-Sami' Al-Basir for Allah, is it same as when we use Sami' Al-Basir for human being? No, no way. Although Allah himself used these two words for human beings. In Surah Al-Insan, Allah says, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. We made a human being, we made insan as Sami' and Basir. Okay? But the hearing of a human being cannot be even closer to the hearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely different from the seeing of human being. So these are the only words. You can say the words and the letters. You share the words and letters only, but not the meaning. The meaning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of these words for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are different, and they are as it befit his majesty, Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. So we stop here inshallah, and we'll continue with some other statements of Shaykh next week inshallah, which is going to be the final session of this season. If anyone has any question related to what we covered today, inshallah you can ask. Yes. The brother asked the question, when it comes to kafara, some charities collect the kafara and they send to other countries. Yes, it is permissible. It is permissible to pay the kafara through a charity. But you need to bear in mind that when you pay the kafara to a charity, you got to make it clear to them that this is the kafara donation. Okay, make it clear so that they don't use it elsewhere. For example, you give £100 and your intention is to feed 10 individuals, 10 poor people. Made it clear to them that this £100 must go to 10 poor people so that they do not spend their £100 in a water project or sponsoring an orphan or someone else. Okay, so you got to, it is your duty to make it clear to them. And once they accept your donation with that condition, then it is their responsibility to make sure that your kafara is paid in the right way. Okay, the brother asked the question, those 10 poor, do they have to be Muslims? No. Okay. There are various types of kafaras and expiations that are mentioned in the Quran or in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some fuqaha are of the opinion that all the kafaras or any kind of kafara, they must be given to Muslims. And their evidence or their understanding is that, because in some of the kafaras, the word mu'min or the believer is used, so we take that in evidence and we apply it to all the kafaras. But majority of the fuqaha of the opinion that, that particular type of kafara where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the mention of a believer, then that kafara is for the believers only, for Muslims only. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't mention the believer, then it is open, it can be given. Obviously, the priority should be the Muslims, but it is permissible to give to non-Muslims as well. Can we name girl Maya? Allahu A'lam. I do not know the meaning of the word Maya. I can't say yes or no. It is common. Can you pick a kafara on behalf of someone else? Yes, you can. With their permission or with their request. If someone cannot afford, okay, for example, your son, your daughter, they took an oath and they could not fulfill their oath, and they asked you as a parent to pay kafara on their behalf, yeah, you can do that, inshallah. Someone runs a business inside. That question is not related to the topic. Okay, so I said, you see, this is not open question answer session. So whatever we cover in this session, please ask a question related to this. Yes. Munaqidah, yes, yes. Yeah, brother asks a question, the kafara, is it for yameen al-munaqidah? The yameen or the oath that is related to the future, is it for that? Yes. For if you have taken a false statement, false oath, then there's no kafara for that. The kafara for that only is to repent to Allah and ask and seek His forgiveness. Because you committed a major sin. Okay? But the kafara is not that you feed 10 poor. That is a kafara of al-yameenul mun'aqida. You took an oath to do something or not to do something in the future and you did not fulfill it. Okay? Yes. Yes. God is not the name of Allah. Okay, I'm not sure if we are going to cover that type of topic in the next season, inshallah. But generally, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they believe that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we use the words or the names only for which we find an evidence in the Quran, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot come up with a name, with a word, and we say this is the name of Allah, and you start calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by that name. The word God, there's no evidence of that in the Quran hadith, the word God. Yes, when you give da'wah to non-Muslim, someone who is not familiar with the word Allah, it is okay to use the word God when, in that context particularly. But generally, Muslims shouldn't be using the word God, rather you should be saying Allah. Okay. Likewise, in Urdu, his common word Khuda. Khuda is not the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you should avoid it. There are beautiful names of Allah, because the beautiful names of Allah, who said Allah has beautiful names? Allah Himself. And who chose those names? Allah. So if you choose a word for Allah and a name for Allah, it means you are trying to put yourself on the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't do this. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are tawqifi, based on the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Feeding 10 poor people for exhibition, can you pay? Okay, I think they answered this question. Okay. Someone said... Someone said she swears by this cream that it works. Okay. This cream works. Okay, this cream works. Is this shirk? No, it's not shirk. That's why I explained the three types of yameen. Okay. So if you mean by cream, you know, the cream that is applied on the skin, okay, and you are recommending someone that it works, yeah, you can say, because if you yourself have tested, tried, and it works for you, you can say, Wallahi, it helped me, okay, if you are sure. But as he said, be careful, you know, we got to be careful. If there is no need to take an oath, don't do it. You don't make the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you're not sure. The wife is not. Okay, is the wife also sinful if the husband took an oath on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his intention or not? Yeah, wife is not sinful. As he gave an example, if the husband say that he uttered a word such as our marriage is over, I cannot continue with you like this, and later he says, no, my intention wasn't to divorce her, and then it means they continue with their marriage, then there's no sin on the wife if the husband is lying. His sin will be on him. Yes. Any other question? Okay. Yeah, again, as I said, the ruling is the same. If you are sure, 100%, if you yourself have tried, tested, then you may say. Yeah, I swear by the cream. Yeah, if they mean that, then it's a statement of shirk. This is what we said. This is what the whole lesson was about. You know, when you say, I swear by, after by, only Allah. That's it. No cream, no prophet, no Nabi, no place, no day, night, no time, nothing. Only Allah. I swear by Allah. And even if you say, I swear, if you say only the word I swear, then your intention must be that you swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, final inshallah. Yeah, the first is asking, is it a statement of shirk when you say, oh God, oh gosh, okay? Gosh obviously is slang, okay? But, oh God, again, as you just said, God is not the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person has the habit, they must get rid of this habit, okay? If a believer comes across something strange or surprising or amazing, then they say, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. These are the statements that a Muslim should be uttering. And saying, oh God, we can't say this is a statement of shirk. A person say, oh God, but it is something that is not recommended. Okay. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.